Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
Jim and Patrick left the studio door wide open.
My name is Billy Culpa.
My name is Will Pfeiffer.
And this week, we're running Rockin' the Suburbs. Hello there, and welcome to Monday's edition of Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Billy Culpa. I'm here with Will Pfeiffer. What are we doing, Will?
We are guest hosting Jim and Patrick's podcast this week, and I couldn't be more excited to do so.
How did we land this gig?
Well, I've known Jim since the early 1990s, and
he was in your wedding, right?
No, but he was at my wedding. I was his best man.
Oh, but you didn't reciprocate.
My brother was my best man.
Wow, you hate
I only
Jim.
Had one best man. Jim lived in Kentucky, maybe, or Virginia, or California at the same time.
I would have put you in my wedding, Jim, if I wasn't 20 years younger.
I wasn't in Billy's wedding. Let's all remember that.
You were barely invited.
But anyway. But I've known Jim for a long time. He and I went to tons of concerts when we were both younger, singler men. Jim still goes to concerts. I'm an old man now. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of the podcast. Love what he and Patrick are doing. So they're taking a week off, and they ask us to fill in.
You've been a guest on this show before.
I have, yes.
What'd you guys cover?
Let's see. We talked about the band The Modern Lovers, which I'm a big fan of, and I may bring up later this week. And I think we talked about Velvet Underground, too, another band I really enjoy.
Gotcha.
Old bands that no longer record.
Will it sounds exactly like our podcast that we used
That's
to
right.
do. For about 2 years, two mm-hmm. and a half years. Will and I ran an old movie podcast, sort of a film review podcast, I guess, called Out of Theaters. The website's still up. I tweeted from the account for the first time in two years or whatever.
The episodes are still up.
Yeah.
Feel free to listen.
I think there's 58 or 9 something. We had basically the premise was, I haven't seen anything. Will would show me movies. They were always terrible. And then we would talk and comment.
They were not always terrible, though.
Mostly terrible.
Billy, however, did not like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I think it's just a script full of indie punching people. But hey.
You like The Apartment, though, right?
The Apartment's really
there
good.
There you go.
Yeah,
so some movies you like.
I grew up playing music. I've been That's playing right. drums since I was 12. You know, seventh grade, they pick who you're, what instrument you're going to be. I think I wrote down flute, and the teacher was like, "You don't want to play
exactly.
flute."
Exactly. How grateful are you to that teacher?
So he wrote director's choice, and then all the instruments got picked. And when it was all over, they only had one drummer. So he's like, "Hey, you can play drums," and I said, "Okay." And
Perfect.
My mom was mad because she's like, "That is going to be loud."
It is,
and it was. I've been in sort of terrible bands ever since. Not in years now, although I play with a friend of mine, Kevin, who I assume is listening. We're going to talk about, I thought maybe we'd spend this first episode talking about sort of where we're coming from, what we're both into, and the rest of the week will sort of, it's like a baseline that we can branch off of. So I wanted to hear what's your favorite band, and if you had to pick a song, your first song on your first music podcast, what would you play?
Okay, I'm going to say my favorite band, it's not an obscure choice, but I'm going to say the Ramones are my favorite band of all time. I came to them late. I was alive when the Ramones were recording. I sort of really started like them in college in the 80s. I was aware of them before. I've seen them a couple times in concert. I saw them once when I was in college in a small bar in Kent, and it was an incredible show. It was like a small room.
Kent, Ohio.
We were Kent, Ohio. Went to Kent State. We were pressed right up against the stage. I mean, we were right there with the Ramones. So, I love those guys. I love their sound. I love how they changed music. I love the energy they brought. I love the simplicity of it. You know, I grew up listening to bands when I was a kid, like Rush and Styx. And while I still have a certain fond spot for those, I like when the Ramones, when I first heard them, it's so stripped down and so energetic that I really fell in love with them.
What song are we going to play first?
Well, let's play. I have two songs I'd like to play just because I want to show. I think people think they know what the Ramones are. So let's start off with the obvious choice, which would be Blitzkrieg Bop. It's the first song off their first album. This song was obscure for a long time for the general public. Now it's in commercials all over the place. Now that they're all dead, somebody's making bank on it.
this was actually just played too on last Thursday's episode.
Right. It was first song off the first. So album, we'll just a little taste because I want to contrast it with the next song then.
Here we go.
Hey, oh, let's go. Backseat.
insanely catchy. I know that's an obvious thing to say about the Ramones, but...
You know, and that's... The thing about the Ramones is, I mean, they are obviously, you know, punk pioneers, and for a while they were, you know, sort of a symbol of what was, like, you know, scary about punk, these weird-looking guys in black leather jackets. But that song is a pop song, really. It was inspired by the Bay City Rollers, that SATURDAY night. They wanted a song with a chant like that. Joey Ramone, more than anything, wanted to be a pop star. And the Ramones, the irony is the Ramones wanted to be huge, successful, popular musicians. They never did it.
Until
the Sex Pistols didn't want to, and they topped the charts with like their first two singles in England. So it's, you know, that's the thing. But so that's
the obvious one.
That's the obvious one. That's sort of that baseline Ramone sound. Now here's the non-obvious one. It's a song called Danny Says. It's off their album, The End of the Century, which was produced by Phil Spector, legendary pop producer of 60s girl groups like the Ronettes. He did the classic Phil Spector Christmas album that you still hear every year. And he, you know, the Ramones grew up listening to his music, so they really wanted to work with him. He loved Joey's voice somehow. There's something about it. And so they got in the studio. It did not go well. According to rather believable legend, at one point he pulled a gun on them.
Wow.
During the recording session.
Wait, Phil Spector, the guy who is in prison for killing somebody?
That Phil Spector. Yes. So it's not hard to believe that he pulled a gun on them. And, you know, so, but there were some great songs came out of it. He gave his patented wall of sound production style to their album. But this song, Danny Says, I think if you're used to the Blitzkrieg Bop, the sort of how, for lack of a better word, pretty this song is may surprise you.
So this is 1980, 3 years after the first one. Recorded in 1979.
That's Phil Spector bringing in that kind of real, you know, a real 60s kind of song
I thought it. That too. Yeah, it sounds like an old, sort of an old, oldie station kind of pop song.
And it's, you know, it's great little imagery about, you know, it's about their manager, Danny Fields. And, you know, he's basically telling them when they have to be in Idaho to perform. And they're sitting in a hotel watching Get Smart on TV while they're waiting to go to the show. You know, it's just about them being on tour, but it's such a beautiful little song.
It's
and
a literal
it's not
song
what
too.
You would think.
Right.
From Blitzkrieg Bop.
Is this just an attempt? These are earnest questions. I don't
sure,
know
no,
this.
No, no.
Is it just like somebody saying, no, really, we really want to be famous. Let's try something else.
I think they wanted to be famous.
How many albums did they have that were in the pop punk sort of proto punk, whatever, up-tempo sort of stuff? Do you have any idea?
Well, but I mean, it mixes on their albums.
Got
I mean,
it.
They, most of their stuff though, I mean, it's most, you know, like Blitzkrieg Bop is a hard song,
yeah.
But it's very poppy.
Super catchy.
I mean, most of their songs are that sort of song.
Okay.
There's some stuff that's like Animal Boy, and there's some stuff on there later that gets a little harder, a little more, not quite metally, but maybe like some of those influences. But mostly they wanted to be a pop punk band. They never, you know, they sort of came about before punk was applied to their music. They just considered themselves a rock and roll band.
So let me, that's a good transition. I do want to play songs in this podcast.
Sure, sure. I know.
But I do have a lot of stories to tell. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that sort of thing, that's interesting because I don't know the Ramones real well, but I'm how much younger? I'm 34. How old are you?
I am 50.
So 15 years different. Actually, not that much, actually.
No, I know, no.
I have 5 brothers and 3 sisters, and getting attention in my household was not an easy thing to do.
I'm sure with that amount
of money.
One of
the things that I picked up on early was if I liked my mom's music and my aunt's music, I would get high praise.
Oh, very good.
So I grew up on Dion and the Belmonts. on Tommy James, you know, and yeah. just pop, I'm real, like catchy. I love
this
the
oldies. This is the stuff that Joey Ramone grew up loving.
Unfortunately, I was the outcast for most of my life.
I understand.
right around, I don't know, eighth grade, ninth grade, I got an AOL account. It must have been like seventh or eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And I met some girl on AOL. It wasn't even Instant Messenger, guys. It was like sign in. If somebody right. picks up the phone, you get kicked off. Her first question to me as a like a 12-year-old on AOL, she said, and she's also 12 or 13. Okay. And later on, we did talk on
You're
the
sure
phone.
It wasn't like a 45-year-old man?
I am 100% positive because we are Facebook friends to this day,
okay.
which is weird because it's been 22 years.
That is a little weird.
Her name's Jasmine. Hey, Jazz. She's a good person. We okay. share music. Hi, she asked me, am I a rapper or a rocker, was her question. And I just, I'm sure I sent her back a series of question marks. And she mailed me a physical tape of
an actual tape.
Like a cassette tape mm-hmm. of like MTV 1995 summer something.
Okay. Something, yeah.
And it had like Danzig's mother and it had Local H. I don't know if you know Local H. They're actually from around
here. I've heard the name.
They're like a post-grunge sort of rock band. Just a guitar player and a drummer.
Okay.
And
wow.
Yeah, it's I've seen them live a bunch
of
times.
So like the White Stripes, but...
Kind of, okay. but good.
I like the White Stripes.
I hate the White Stripes.
Maybe we'll get in this later.
All right. But Local H had a song called Fritz's Corner. Green Day's Longview was on there.
Mm-hmm.
Offspring had... Oh, boy. It might have been Gotta Get Away.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very pop-punk oriented because it's 1995.
Sure.
And that is my jam. That's where I got into...
By the way, did you just say that is my jam?
Oh, my God. that's my baseline. So the Ramones were before me, and I just never went back and circled the wagons mm-hmm. and like got familiar with it. But I wanted to play sort of something in my wheelhouse. I didn't want to play an obvious Green Day song. I wanted to go from where I branched off to that.
Sure.
The first band I ever fell in love with is a Chicago-based pop-punk band called Alkaline Trio. They're yeah. obviously not the Ramones, but I
want They're alive, for one thing.
Yeah, they're all, well, barely. Actually, the singer, Matt Skiba, is now the guitar player for Blink-182.
Oh, okay.
Because their guitar player went crazy and likes aliens and stuff now. It's
You know, the Ramones, I believe, are the only band where all the founding members are dead.
That can't possibly be true.
But can you think of another one?
Hasn't a band died in a plane crash? The Big Bopper's dead. Sure.
Big Bopper was not a band.
I want to play Alkaline Trio,
okay, yes.
Nose Over Tail.
Nose Over Tail. Okay, that I liked it. It sounds to me, and this is just me coming in cold, as there's a lot of bands, I guess, from that era where you get that kind of you know what I mean?
That
it's like pop punk, but it's not the same pop punk as Blitzkrieg Bop.
No,
say.
For sure, for sure.
Yeah,
no, it's not the same.
It's like, which band would you say sort of started that style?
So you got to understand, this is 14-year-old me. I don't know anything beyond. This.
I know. I'm just wondering because it's like kind of like Green Day. It's kind of like Offspring a little, maybe. But or other bands ever. Blink-182.
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Yeah. So that it's harder than that.
I'm not. It's just it's a little harder. It's
Alkaline Trio has that album. I know we're not supposed to swear on this podcast, so I don't know how to say it, but it's God Amit. That's the name of that album. They had an EP that came out before it, but the lead singer, Skiba, he's just a bike messenger. He's literally just a guy who rode his bike around Chicago delivering stuff.
Is he Puck from the Real World?
Nope. And the bass player is Dan Andriano, and he was in Slapstick, I believe. They're really good musicians, and they never quite broke. Alkaline Trio never quite got their due.
Yeah.
They're still active.
That's like every band I like.
I think they had a single on MTV that didn't do that well. They seem to always be opening for other bigger bands. Alkaline Trio opened for maybe my favorite band of all time, Bad Religion. I don't know. They sort of just stalled out at like a 7 out of 10. You know, like they didn't quite explode. The thing that drives me crazy about that band is they as time has gone on, their lyrics have gotten more and more like theatric. Like they're trying to be
singing
about skulls and bats and the. I just like I don't really care, guys. Like what I like about their debut album is that it's really earnest and really heartfelt, and it's one of the first times where I felt like the aggressiveness of rock, like the real, like it felt dangerous. I've been to shows. It was dangerous. Like mm-hmm. I have been hit with mics, and you know, it's just like
yeah.
But it also the lyric content was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sort of a nice as a, you know,
you're looking for that when you're that age.
When you're
you
15 years old, 16 years old, and some girl invites you to a show. It's just like, this is ours. I felt like I owned it.
Yeah.
It's just it's always been to me. It's kind of in retrospect, you know, I mention Alkaline Trio to people now and they kind of there's a little bit of an eye roll. Like, I don't know if you ever heard of bands like AFI or even like Saves the Day went out of their way to
I've heard of Saves the Day.
Just sing about cutting and pain and bleeding. Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I know. It's just kind of like, I know. It's hard to. I need my music to be authentic, and it's inauthentic. So,
but see, a lot of times I think when bands do that, they're kind of being inauthentic.
Yeah, it's I totally agree.
Like
yeah.
The Ramones have a song called "I Want to Be Sedated," which is one of their best known songs.
Yep.
And you know, it sounds like they're being kind of crazy about how you know they got to be sedated because they're so wild that you know they got to be calmed down. But the truth is that Joey couldn't fly because he had emotional issues. He really did want to be sedated, and a lot of the meanings. I'm not you know of a lot of bands. As you learn more about them, you find these songs really did mean something, even if they at first blush don't sound like they do.
I'm unprepared to give the Ramones a pass on being an authentic band. I think like most of their stuff was written for the catchiness
Well, let's be honest.
There's like seven words in every song.
Here's something crazy. Their last name really wasn't all Ramone.
Oh, really? Shocking.
I mean, they were like the Monkees in a way. They had costumes and they had fake names. They did perform all their stuff and write it, but you know, yeah, they wanted to be a pop band.
Alkaline Trio led me to, while they have an edge of like sort of not danger. That's not the right word. I feel silly saying that.
Authenticity?
Yeah. Like there's just this sort of grossness to them, like just this raw sound. They didn't have a lot of money. They literally made stuff in their garage. It's, you know, they were on a label out of Chicago called Asian Men Records. It was just a tiny DIY life. One of these bands that was in the same era that didn't even get as hard or as famous as Alkaline Trio was called the Lawrence Arms. Mm-hmm. And this is a band I want to play. Give me one more second here to play one more song for you.
Okay. I never wanted to die, but it's too late now. My heart has grown so cold, and the corpse I leave behind ain't gonna be no pretty boy. It's a sick sack of disease. We thought about where we'd love to go. High and beautiful.
Lawrence Arms.
Yeah,
the singer's name is Brendan Kelly. He's a Chicago guy too. I think he works for The Onion now. He did that Nihilist Arby's Twitter account.
I like the Nihilist Arby's.
His Twitter's funny. It's at Bad Sandwich.
There you go.
All right.
I mean, they were good. I liked them.
Yeah, none of these bands are super famous or anything.
No.
But
well, that's...
What I like about Lawrence Arms is that they sort of increase that, I don't know, it's like a dirty sound. Like it's an unpolished sort of gruffness to them. But they also increase sort of the sentimentality. It makes me feel very melancholy listening to Lawrence Arms.
There you go. We're all getting older, Billy.
I know. That song is about getting old. 17-er. It's a bummer.
That's right.
All right. So we got the Ramones. Alkaline Trio and Lawrence Arms. Is there anything else you want to hit? Sort of a baseline music this episode, or should we continue this for Tuesday?
Let's continue it for Tuesday, because I think I've got some other bands, but the Ramones are my all-time favorite band.
Gotcha.
So let's stick with them for me.
I think my all-time favorite band is Bad Religion, but we'll get to them.
We'll come back to them.
Yeah, we'll get to them next week.
Excellent.
All right, so how do we wrap this up?
I don't know. What do Jim and Patrick do?
I guess they say goodbye.
Goodbye, guys.
Yeah, goodbye. We'll see you guys. This is Monday's episode. We'll see you Tuesday.
Are we allowed to say like where we can be on Twitter and that kind of thing?
Oh, my God. That actually reminds me. Jim gave me notes.
Oh, notes from Jim. Oh,
man.
That doesn't sound very rock and roll.
I feel bad. I don't know Patrick at all. I added him on Facebook today. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick. I hope you're not horribly regretting what you've done with your show.
All right, closing business. Listen to the show every day on Apple Podcasts through iTunes, Audio Boom, and other podcast platforms. We're not going to name them all, but we do Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, SoundCloud.
You guys know where you get your podcasts.
Where you find your podcasts. Visit the website at Suburbs.
Suburbs.
I was going to say Suburban.
I like that. Suburbs.
Suburbspod.com and email the show at rock@suburbspod.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at SuburbsPod, and call the Suburban Party Line and leave a message at 612-440-1984.
There you go.
You can find me on Twitter at Billy Culpa, at BILLYKULPA, and Will at WILLPF. Is it EI? FFER?
Because now they've started writing it down furiously and screwed it up. It's at Will Pfeiffer, at WILLPFEIFER.
I did spell it right.
You stopped in the middle.
Until Tuesday.
We've known each other for years, Billy.
Talk to you soon, everybody.